The DeFalco Files is an entertainment-based program. Some memories of certain events might be fuzzy. All opinions are that of the host. Content might not be appropriate for children and some adults. Listener discretion is advised. And remember, the truth is here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents The DeFalco Files with FSW owner Joe DeFalco and your host, Matt Michaels.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of Future Stars Wrestling, FSW, here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. You know, busy. We got so much stuff going on. You know, all we need is a venue that's willing to house us so we can put more people in than the FSW arena. There's just too much good stuff happening to limit the amount of people that are going to be able to come to a show at the FSW arena.
That's very very telling that, you know, so many people want to work, so many people want to see the shows. And one of the things that I saw posted, which I want to know what the idea is, what the truth is, if it was an April Fool's joke, because it said April 1st, FSW invading Dallas for WrestleMania weekend next year.
That was the overzealousness of my son, who, you know, as usual, has to go over the top. And, you know, I woke up and basically had to lambaste him, because the one thing I hate is when people post things stating it as fact when the discussion hasn't even been had. And would we love to be able to do something there? Absolutely. But nothing's been set, so don't say it's been set.
Right.
We don't like to go out there and say, hey, everybody, John Moxley's coming back after Natural Born Killers. We'd love to have the guy back, but we're not going to say it unless we know it's true.
Right.
And there's a lot of logistics to get through to just all of a sudden, yeah, because there's a lot of people we work with. We got good relationships with a lot of people. And, you know, would it be great to dip our, you know, foot in that pool? Absolutely. You know, the talent's going to be there, you know. But I also know that renting a ring and all the other stuff's going to be far more expensive than, you know, people are aware of.
Right.
And just people did shows WrestleMania weekend, you know, not a lot of them. And even some of the ones that had, you know, companies with good name values weren't packing the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Texas is a great option because, you know, there is no limits on how many people you could have there.
Right.
But again, that's a year away. That's in the planning stage. We got four big shows over the next 5 or 6 weeks that need to be focused on.
Yeah.
You know, starting this Friday, we got a big show, which is going to set up Ground Zero on the 24th, which is a huge show that's got Hammerstone against Brian Pillman Jr. You know, I can also announce that after his injury, Chris Bay has been out of action for quite some time. And Chris Bay will make his in-ring return on April 24th in a first-time-ever match going one-on-one with Sefa Fatu.
Ooh.
So, you know, that's not counting, you know, Remy and the Unguided and Maserati and all our champions and, you know, all the talent, you know, is through the roof. You know, on the 24th and on the 16th, you know, initially the thoughts were, hey, let's do, you haven't done Future Shock because we did the women's show, but it's like, you know what? We got Toko Uso, we got Sefa coming in on the 16th. One match we can announce is Matt Vandegrift against Jay Vidal, which should be a fantastic match.
Yeah.
You know, we're going into May, and May 8th, we've just gotten the okay. And, you know, the name of the show, fittingly, is called Psycho de Mayo. And it features Psycho Clown from AAA. He's going to be coming in and doing some stuff. We've got some arrangements through MK and AAA, and we're trying to figure everything out on that. And then, you know, May 14th on that Friday night, because GCW is coming into town. And with Game Changer Wrestling, we decided to create our own show called Changing the Game. And we're definitely changing the game. We got Leo Rush. We got Trey Miguel. We got Trey Lamar. We got Chris Bay. You know, we got the Unguided. You know, we're working on, you know, a big-time opponent for Hammerstone. And, you know, as big as Ground Zero is, changing the game is going to be even bigger. So yeah. It's like it's just that slow build of, like, four humongous shows that, you know, all need, you know, an audience. And, you know, no offense to the younger cats and stuff like that, but, man, you better earn your spot, because, you know, putting together this crazy scramble match that already has, you know, Eli Everfly in it and Brandon Gatson, and, you know, Adrian Quest just got confirmed for that match.
Nice.
You know, that one should be insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Hammerstone gets by Pillman, you know, he's still got what's next on the horizon. And, you know, what's up with Ice Camera Faction, and what's up with, you know, Shogun after losing the belts. There's so many guys that it's almost running 2 weeks in a row to make sure all that talent gets on, because right. We can't make the mistake that we made, you know, last month when we did a 4-hour show, because we were packing everybody into one show.
Right.
So now, you know what, with the limited audience members, more people could get in now, because we're probably at about 75 to 90 that we could put in there. And we were right at the limit the last big show we did, but we really need to try to, you know, figure things out and increase everything just to make it financially worthwhile, you know.
Right.
Professionally, I love it. It's great shows. But I have no problem if we do a show and it breaks even. I have a problem if we do a show that breaks even, but we're leaving all this money not even at the door.
Right.
We're leaving it away from the door, because we can't put people in who want to come and give us 30, 40 bucks to sit in the front row.
Right.
You know, the last time we had to maneuver things because of the social distancing, instead of having 55 front rows, we had 30 front rows. Well, yeah. 30, you know, do the arithmetic, you know, 30 times 30 is only 900 bucks from the front rows, while 55 times 30 is 1650. So right. That's already $750 that's left. Where did it go? Well, nowhere. It wasn't like we could have moved them somewhere else. So, you know, now that becomes the most important process. You know, we talked with a venue, talking with another venue, and, you know, the casinos are out right now. Nothing's happening. So, you know, there's some little smaller places that, you know, understand that people need a place. So of course, even though we're in this time of the pandemic and all the other stuff, you know, their rates are a lot higher than us running at a Sam's Town.
Yeah.
So now, okay, well, for the cost of the venue, just because we can put an extra 100 people in there, can we make more money, or are we losing more money by doing it?
Right.
You know? So that's a lot of the stuff that really has to get handled.
When you look at, let's say, a company like Versus running in the mall, you know, I know that that's kind of for them, like their FSW arena per se. What is it about a venue, whether it be someplace like a mall or like a, you know, an outdoor patio, a beer garden type place, or even, you know, the Nerd Bar, that area, in the outside area that you've done shows before there. What's the biggest obstacle? Is it price right now that's the biggest obstacle, or are they also fairly limited still because of, I think it's 50% right now statewide?
It's 50%, but if we did 50% at our venue, we would have 110 people.
Right.
But having to social distance, having to have the performers 12 feet away, that eliminates spots. Like,
right.
You know, so it's more availability. There's just, you know, so few choices, and it's like, who do you go to? It's like, right. Okay, well, this casino. And now when you've had no relationship with any a certain casino, who are you to walk into there and try to get in? Like, they're barely surviving. Right. You know, we've talked about Sam's Town. That was our home base, basically. And at Sam's Town, there's literally not one person who's working in the entertainment department.
Right.
So people are saying, well, May 1st, things are going to change. Well, we're on April 13th. You think somebody would be there for me to say, we want to do a show June 1st.
Right.
You know, and hey, if the thing doesn't change May 1st, it's just canceled. You know, Impact wanted to run shows in September, October, November, and there's nobody there. And that's the most frustrating part. It's like, okay, well, if live entertainment's coming back and you can go to the MGM and go see the Jabberwockies and Carrot Top.
Right.
And even David Copperfield in a smaller place, you know, why do I got to wait till October to see Billy Idol?
Right.
Like, you would think it would be easier. And I'm pretty sure, hey, well, you know, I was listening to, you know, my favorite channel on XM Sirius, the Hair Nation, you know. Back when I had hair on my favorite music, and they were talking about, well, you know, these places, because the bigger venues are like 20%, like the Golden Knights are 20%.
Right.
And it's like, well, if you go to, say, the Coliseum at Caesars or Mandalay Bay, I know it has a few thousand people and everything. And if you still did 20%, I get you that you can only put, say, 500 people in on a show. I'm pretty certain that if Billy Idol's getting 20 grand a week, he would do it for 8 grand a week while there's limited numbers.
Right.
Because they say, well, you know, the cost of everything to just open the building. Well, unfortunately, only 20 ushers are going to be able to have a job back instead of 100 ushers.
Right.
You know, to limit the areas and doing stuff. But, you know, I don't know what goes into it, but you know, the Golden Knights seem to be fine when they've gone up to 2,700 to 4,000. Yeah. You know, nobody's come out with, oh, my goodness, look at this huge outbreak because of the Golden Knights game. Right. Now it's just there, and now it's 4,000 people. So, you know, why can't Garth Brooks play at the Allegiant Stadium at 25%? There's still, you know, 17,000 people that could be there.
Right.
Like, how could it not be successful? You don't need to open up every single concession stand and have being ushers. It's like, yeah, you know, we're in a crazy time. So I think even for musicians who are supposedly, hey, you know what, all this live entertainment, they can't do it. I'm pretty sure that band who does local clubs for 1500 is more than happy to do it for 600 because there's less money being brought in.
Right.
You know, I go to different places. There's a sushi place up the street that by Barley's where I go, and there's always people waiting to get in. Now, it isn't because it's at full capacity. It's at half capacity, but you have to wait 2 hours to get a reservation.
Yeah.
You know, a Japanese place that I love, and we go there frequently enough, they kind of made an air, you know, opened up another, you know, hibachi stand for us. So there's ways of doing things to get your people there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, this seems to be the last thing that's opening. Like, hey, casinos could do more stuff now. That's great. And on the strip, the live entertainment's there. So why can't we have wrestling? Why can't UFC have, you know, a show at Mandalay Bay with 4,000 fans also? Why is that any different? You know, and I've not seen any explanations. I go on every day, every other day to check and see, hey, if any regulations have changed, can we do this? Oh, the CDC recommends kids now only need to be 3 feet away.
Right.
Oh, and if you wipe down the table, it doesn't really matter. The odds of getting it are like 1 in 10,000. Well, maybe you should have told us that a fucking year ago. You're telling us now when everything's supposedly, you know, on that downward spiral, but then saying, oh, by the way, it never really mattered. Oh, well, great to know. So the only way you can get it, the majority is, you know, contact. That's why we need to wear a mask. Unless you're smoking in a casino and then you just go like this and you puff and you breathe everything out and you actually blow the smoke into people's faces. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is the fact that you can, I've seen people, their cell phone is the excuse. They're sitting there talking on their cell phone. It's like, what the fuck? Okay. I guess I'll keep my mask on, but you go ahead, have your phone conversation. You know, with that frustration, also I'm assuming is built up creativity as well. How has it been for you looking kind of forward towards the next, you know, month of shows, essentially, for you creatively, how have you been able to convey what you want to do to the talent themselves? Have you had meetings? Have you had talks? Have you laid out what you're looking at doing? Or does some of that come dependent on some of the negotiations for some of the talent for some of these bigger shows?
Well, yeah, I conversate with people, you know, but a lot of things change. You know, we have a certain path that we're looking to go to. And generally, the anniversary show is kind of where we want the finality of a lot of things.
Right.
But because of that built up frustration, the pandemic, you know, last month we did, you know, the biggest show we had done in a year. And it was kind of like resetting, you know, we hit the reset button. You know, Hammerstone is now our champ. We were able to crown the Nevada State champion on the same show. We were able to finally get Kenny King and the tag titles situated to where now the Unguided, who's a team that basically will work every single show. You know, we've had a lot of bumps in the road when it's come to the tag team title belts of recent, right, of recent day. You know, everything was great, you know, when Hammerstone and Graves had the belts. But the problem was, when you thought about the situation and it was like, okay, well, Graves is the heavyweight champion, Hammerstone's the Nevada State champion, and they're also the tag champions. Well, now it causes a couple of belts not to be defended.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, in the middle of the run, Hammerstone gets booked for MLW to work in Japan. And obviously there's not a decision to even be made.
Right.
It's like he's going to Japan, you know, this is great for our best champion, you know, the guy who's done everything for FSW, but it fell at a miserable time. So then when we finally did the switch and, you know, Kenny and Shogun won the belts, they won it at No Escape in January. They beat RMB in March, and that was the last show.
Right.
And then we got a couple of things going when we started running shows, and we had set up, you know, the Unguided for Kenny and Shogun. Kenny even worked the singles match against Damian Drake, which is what he wanted to do that match before they had the tag title match. And then right after that match, everything imploded and we had to shut down again for 6 weeks. So there's been a lot of bad luck. There's been a lot of things. So a lot of stuff that normally would have happened already never got to happen. So all of it basically went down last month. Can't even think the name of the show. I remember every name of every show except that one. And, you know, all the titles were on the line. We even did the cash in the case because we hadn't done that, which we usually save for the anniversary show.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, or fortunately, it was a great show, but the thing was, it was 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And everything was set in place. You know what I mean? And it's like, now we have to build on that.
Yeah. And it was a day of reckoning. Was the
day of reckoning. Yes. There you go. And it was.
It was. You know, as I was listening to that, one of the thoughts that hit me, and I don't think I've ever asked you this question, when everything was going down with the pandemic, and you looked at places like Florida and Texas, where they were able to basically run shows, you know, fairly quickly, especially Florida, does it frustrate you that there wasn't uniformity across the country in what, you know, you could and couldn't do? Because you could have, you know, if you were a Florida company, you could have been running, you know, 8 months, you know, 9 months ago, you could have started back up. Is that something that has ever crossed your mind as frustrating?
No, because we knew the battle lines were drawn. The Democrats were one way and the Republicans were other.
True.
So the people that were in the same political stance as Trump, they all were a lot more lenient. And ones that were against Trump, which California, Nevada, you know, they took the hard line. So you couldn't get frustrated because you knew how it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, if we were in Arizona, we'd have a lot more leniency. Texas, Florida, you know, South Dakota, whatever. And then you had the polar opposites were New York and California. And because it's our state, even though it's small, it's our state. So we're affected, you know, by everything. You know, it's mind-boggling to me that somebody could come into my business and say, well, you can't do that. And you can't do that. And you can't do that. But you still need to pay your rent.
Yes.
What I would do, that I would pay my rent. And we were fortunate. But the bottom line was they let us slide on the rent when everything was shut down totally.
Right.
So April and June. But the thing is, a lot of our income comes off shows that we couldn't do. A lot of it, and the rest of the income all comes from students signing up for the school. Well, how many did we lose because they didn't want to come out because of the COVID?
Right.
So we didn't get a discount for July and August and September.
Right. You know, you said students. Let me ask you about that. How is the school going in terms of has there been an uptick of students now that, you know, things are getting a little more lenient, or, you know, vaccinations, or, you know, just general, you know, people are feeling a little safer? Are students coming back to the school?
Well, it was weird. When we first reopened, we had this huge influx of students, and then they kind of drifted off. And then really the downer was in November, when it was almost like kind of relocking down and, you know, everything seemed to be smooth sailing. Then it was like, well, the bars need to close back up. Right. And we limit this. And now we're back down to 25%. And then they went to 30%. And at that point, there was a lot of people that we lost. We have a lot of regulars, you know, that may not pay dues because they're so far established along the way that they're done with that, but they still didn't come around as much.
Right.
Because, you know, relatives and things like that. So in all honesty, no, we really haven't. You know, we've had, you know, last month was probably the least amount of paying students that we've had since the pandemic.
Wow.
And not that we don't have students, because we always have students and we have some really good students, but more have drifted away.
Right.
To where they just stop coming. Just because, you know, also the job thing, you know, not everybody continued to get unemployment after X amount if you didn't work for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always another issue on, you know, who's getting behind on dues, you know.
Right.
How a lot of them got their they must have got their stimulus check right before WrestleMania, because they were able to buy plane tickets and hang out in Tampa for 5 days, but somehow they couldn't come up with $50 or $100 to pay toward their dues of their dream of being a professional wrestler, not going to WrestleMania to watch a show.
Well, you know, at least they should have the courtesy of, you know, bringing you back a t-shirt,
the least they could do, right? I couldn't pay my dues, but I went to WrestleMania and got the owner a t-shirt.
You know, speaking of that and students, is there anyone that's sticking out that, or a couple of people that you can look and go, okay, so once we're kind of clear from the bigger shows, the upcoming shows, and telling the story of those shows, when we get back to doing Future Shock, is there a nice, you know, group of students that are, you know, getting opportunities or creating their own opportunities for Future Shock right now?
Well, the two youngest guys that have really gotten the opportunity is Nick Zander and Brett the Threat. The problem with Brett the Threat is, as talented as he is, that's how dumb he is. You know, hate to call a person an idiot, but he just makes, let's just say he just makes some horrible decisions. Okay. You know, while Nick, you know, he's there early, he's cleaning up, he's doing everything necessary to want to give the guy a spot. But I don't just want to give somebody a spot because they're helpful. And he kind of jumped the rail. He started a little later than a lot of the other people, but when he walked in, within 3 months, he got to be on par or better than a lot of the younger students. And Brett was the same way. He stepped in, you know, he's got the MMA background. He trained with the Mizanis. He knew, but you know, he's too cocky for his own good. It's like, you know, the one thing I hate is excuses for things. And as you heard when he came on, you know, Rocky T's to blame. Remy Marceau was to blame. The fans were to blame. It's like, you know, there's a lot of growing pains when you're a young wrestler.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of waves, you know. MK needed some guys in Utah and wanted young students, you know, not high paying guys that were going to drive there and want a bunch of money. They needed somebody to drive up because Strella was going. And I recommended some other people going that way. The car, the ride wasn't, you know, 9 hours for one person.
One person, right.
So who would you recommend? And I'm like, well, Nick and Brett, you know, are two guys that are deserving of a spot. They're not worried about the money. They're worried about, you know, getting on shows. And, you know, I heard really good things, you know, a good match. They did good things, which is funny because Brett complains all the time. But now that he was in a different position in a different spot, you know, he was grateful for the opportunity. And that's also the issue with our guys. They're all expecting the opportunity. And even if they don't bother to show up, they still believe, well, yeah, you know, I had a good match 2 weeks ago. And why aren't I on the show? And it's like, well, because I haven't fucking seen you in 2 weeks. Like, I live and bleed FSW.
Right.
You know, 24/7. Sit around putting together shows for the next month, four different shows. Then all of a sudden, hey, Sandra Moon sends me a text. Hey, just so you know, I can't make the April 16th and 24th show. And I was like, oh, okay, great. You know, I had stuff penciled in and we have to readjust.
Right.
And we do things. And then all of a sudden there's somebody who says they can make it. And then all of a sudden they can't make it. Then like for the 24th, I thought I had mentioned it to Gatson to put the date down. And I hit him up again and was like, hey, I hit you up for the 24th, right? He goes, no, let me check. Because there's so much going on, I don't remember everything either.
Right.
Like, show. So it's like, hey, did I hit you up? And that's why I really like just doing it over Facebook. You know, you can have a phone call, but it's easy to forget that phone call.
Right.
When it lives forever in the Facebook Messenger, you know, as much as it buys Facebook, when it comes to doing that part of the business, it's like, hey, Eli Everfly, May 14th, we got a crazy scramble match, and if somebody's going to be in that crazy scramble match, I want it to be you. You know, are you available? And it's like, yeah, I'll be there. And it's like, well, you know, like that. You know, Funny Bone will be back on the 14th in that match. So, you know, you're talking Gatson, Adrian Quest, Eli Everfly, you know, and Funny Bone, and probably like one other. And actually, it looks like we have Jack Cartwheel, who's really making some waves on the West Coast. And this will be a great opportunity. We used him once, and he was extremely dynamic, a lot of fun to see in the ring.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did a match last year. I think it was the anniversary show, and I called it the Suicidal Six-Way. So I may revisit that if I can find one more super cool guy that might be in town for GCW that, you know, he's just there for the pickings. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exciting. Jack Cartwheel's, he's carving a nice little name for himself now, which is cool to see him coming back here. You know, speaking of guys like The Unguided, Remy Marcel, Funny Bone, Jay Vidal, did you get a chance to see any of the work that everyone did this past WrestleMania weekend?
Honestly, not really. The Unguided put some stuff up, so of course I caught that. But I had other stuff going on. I wasn't really going out and spending money to watch the collective. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm glad to see so many of our guys went out there, mainly because of the fact that these guys need to understand, while they might be a big fish, even in FSW, there's thousands of those guys out there. And, you know, Ice Williams, for example, he ended up replacing Chris Bay. I'm hoping going down there and seeing all that talent makes him strive to be the best.
Yeah.
You know, I had a conversation with Chris Bay yesterday, and we were discussing some different things. And then we started talking about, you know, the future and, you know, the crew of guys that we have. And, you know, we've talked about The Unguided, and we've talked about Lacey, and we talk about Cross, and we talk about Hammerstone and Cage and Ricker and Bay. All those guys were never happy just being the main guy in FSW. They wanted to be the main guy in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They wanted to be the best of the best. And sometimes you got to do things to better yourself that you may feel like at this time, well, there's a pandemic, there's things going on, I'm a little worried about this. And it's like, well, if you're willing to go to the store and you're willing to do all these other things, don't tell me you can't train.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of the up and coming guys of FSW that could be the next big thing, you know, ICE is pretty much almost there.
Right.
But then you got Gun, you got Hero Lou, you know, you got guys like that that you want to see as champions, but you want to see more from them. I want to see those guys doing everything they can to get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get it when we're doing a show and you show up. I want to see you get it when you're grinding. Like, oh, they're killing it at the gym. Well, if you're willing to go to a gym, then you should be willing to go to the FSW to train.
Right. Sure. Oh,
because you're not training to be a bodybuilder. You're training to be a wrestler. And I understand the gym is a major part. These guys are monsters and stuff. But I don't. I want them to make most of their mistakes in class.
Yeah.
That when they have their matches, they're ready for everything that hits them. And like we've talked about, a guy like Shogun might have had 100 matches he missed out on. Well, in his development, he's past those baby steps, and he's trying to get to that next level. And if you can't get to the level, it's easy to say, well, you know, you need to train. But it's like, hey, I'm out every Friday, Saturday, and every other Sunday wrestling shows. But you're not wrestling other than, you know, when we're able to.
Right.
And we worked 3 months without running a show. Then we went 2 months without running a show. And then we ran 2 shows. So none of these guys are getting the consistency. So the consistency of the work is, hey, this Wednesday, Sean Daivari is going to be training. In 2 weeks on Wednesday, TJ Perkins is going to be training. And those classes are specified for the advanced class. And in all honesty, a lot of the beginners still roll around in the advanced class because there isn't the same turnout.
Yeah.
Obviously, the beginners have to be there if they want to get somewhere. But it's the other guys that are kind of, in my opinion, slacking a little bit. Like, you know, you got to have the work ethic, and I need to see the work ethic. So when you're out there working hard, fantastic, awesome. But if I don't see you, it's hard for me to hand you the ball.
Right.
You know, it was easy to hand Lacey the ball. She was there every day.
Yeah.
The unguided, you know, they were really good to begin with.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they met their soulmates. And now it's like they do everything together. It's kind of like when the 1% got put together. They didn't really know each other from Adam. And they made themselves, for a short time, the best tag team on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Because they took what was given to them, and they made sure that they got noticed. And they got the notoriety for it because of them. I take the credit for putting them together. But they get all the credit in the world for making them gel. It's hard to gel when it's like, hey, what's up, buddy? Yeah, we got a match today. Oh, okay. Instead, like now they drive back and forth to California. They right. go to the gym together in California. And they basically decided that they were going to make the commitment, even though both guys wanted to be singles wrestling stars. They knew in FSW that we were lacking tag teams because, again, all the guys, you know, half the tag teams went to China. A couple of them were breaking up. That there was a void that needed to be filled. And they could have kind of just slid in there and maybe been the champs for a little while in the transition period. But they made themselves a team that was like, hey, I'm going to bring in the Rascals and they're going to have a match. Hey, they're going to work the Reno Scum, who we haven't seen in a while. And they were getting the opportunities, and all of a sudden now they work Best of the West with Mike Rain, and they got the tag champions over there, and they got to work SoCal Uncensored.
Yeah.
And then they went to Defy, and they won the tag belts over there. And they put in the effort. And that's what I need, especially for a top guy.
Right.
You want to be a man, you need to make sure that people look up to you.
Right.
You know, when you saw Bay again, oh, whoa, why is he your heavyweight champion? He's only 150 pounds because he's the best person for that moment.
Right.
Hammerstone best person for that moment. Brian Cage was the perfect guy for that moment. Cross, Eli Drake, whatever it was, you know, you want to complain about it at that time, but now you can look back on everything and say, wow, he was right on the money.
Right.
And it wasn't, hey, Brian Cage, he's a cool dude and he looks good, so he's going to make him the champ. You know, look where every single one of those guys are today. You know, I don't like to sound off too much, but it was like, you know what? I'm going to mention that I was watching Takeover, and 9 of the guys on Takeover were in an FSW ring.
Yeah.
You know, and some may have only been once or twice, but, you know, even a guy like Ryan Taylor, Tyler Rust, whatever they call him.
Yeah.
It was like he wasn't on that show, but he's another guy from FSW that worked tons of matches for us.
Yeah.
And I always remember with Taylor, me being a huge fan, a lot of people being a huge fan, but character-wise, until he got put together with the Soul Burners with Thomas Day, he was kind of on his own island where you would watch and say, wow, this guy's really good, but the FSW fans like those characters.
Right.
You know, they'd rather see DeShade than they would rather see Ryan Taylor.
Right.
You know, because they like the local guy. He's fun. He's entertaining.
Right.
You know, but when you want to watch a great wrestling match, there's not that many people anywhere that are going to give you a better match than Ryan Taylor is.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what we're looking for. And it's like, you know, we really like Toko Uso coming in, you know, Tito Escondido, you know, we got him. It's like, you know, there's no bringing him along slowly and having him wrestle the lower card guys.
Right.
You know, April 24th, he's going right into the fire. He's taking on the ex-champ Graves, who is now trying to bounce back after losing to his buddy in a war. You know, and this is a huge match for both guys.
Yeah.
You know, and especially now that the MK Army's been built, not only are Tito and Toko Uso, you know, kind of starting near the top, now with MK there, the transition to being in a top position is pretty simple. All they got, they're going to get those matches, and if they perform in those matches, then they're going to get even bigger matches. You know, not only do I want to see Tito and Graves in a wrestling match, I want to see Tito and Graves against each other at Natural Born Killers.
No shit.
So, you know, Tito is a guy that we've had around for a very long time, who's finally getting a lot of notoriety because of the blood sport and you know, the United Champions and things like that.
Yeah.
But I remember doing a show in Mesquite with Tito, you know, with, you know, when him and Che Cabrera, that we kind of, again, they were friends that I put together.
Yeah.
That they came together from Santino. And I've always wanted to get Tito back in the mix and Che, and it just hadn't worked out. And now it's like, you know what? We need to have the best that there is. You know, the big shows are the big shows. The younger guys are still going to get their opportunities, but you need to be ready for those opportunities. Just because you're good, there's a lot of guys that are good.
Right.
You want to be there, you need to be great. And we don't want people on a show and they're like, wow, that guy's on that show? Like, man, he ain't that good. And whatever we say, he ain't that good. And people get like a little offended and like, oh, what do you mean he ain't that good? For his level, he may be very good. It's right. Like I try to explain that to the Suavecitos, especially
right.
Danny.
Right.
And they think they should be in the main event in every match. And that's great to have that mentality, but you also have to be realistic. It's like, you know, when you step in the ring with a team like, let's just say, Reno Scum that we bring in, they'll eat up the Suavecitos.
Right.
and they need to understand what they need to do to get better. Right. When they go in there, if they can hang with them and perform well, that's all that matters. Nobody needs them to go overboard and, you know, in other ways, a lot of companies be like, oh, we're bringing in the Reno Scum. They're going to work. We'll have them work Creature Feature, and Creature Feature is going to win because they're local guys.
Right.
And that's the reason from day one why FSW was looked at differently than a lot of other companies.
Right.
It wasn't, oh, they brought in Matt Hardy just so we could put somebody over. No, motherfuckers, we brought in Matt Hardy, and then we made him the champ. So when he did win, people were like, holy shit, what the fuck? Matt Hardy won? Like, you yeah. know, you're bringing him in to lose, to put over the guys. And it's like, you know, I always like to say, you Paul London, you know, he wrestled Bryce Harrison, and Paul London won. And it was, you know, people, oh, you know, bringing in Paul, you know. Bryce ain't ready. As Bryce got better, it was like, you know what? Bringing in Paul London again. Bryce is ready. And the first time they wrestled each other, you knew who the WWE superstar was, and you knew who that up-and-comer was. The second time they wrestled, where Bryce has now been the man for a while, and it's all about the confidence level and how you present yourself.
Right.
And when Bryce and Paul London were in the ring, if you were a new wrestling fan who just came to a show and hadn't heard of either guy, and I said one of them was a tag champ in WWE and he'd been there for years, you would not know the difference between the two.
Right.
And that's why Bryce Harrison earned the victory, you know, and that's exactly how it is,
yeah.
you know, and these guys, they look at wins and losses and they don't, especially for the younger guys, they don't mean anything.
Right.
They just need to get better. They need to get the experience. For guys like Hammerstone and Remy, wins do matter. Titles may not matter, but wins matter.
Right.
You know, where when John Cena was at his run, he stymied, and again, I'm not saying it's his fault, but he stymied a lot of guys, like I remember with The Miz and Barrett, where they were put in a great position, and then they went in against Cena, who's basically, you know, he's iron proof. You know what right. I mean? It's like if he loses, the same thing with Bray Wyatt when they did the thing, and it was like they put the thumb on those guys and they couldn't beat Cena. And it was like I remember with The Miz that he started getting hot again, and then it took him another year to where they put him in a position where he was actually in that position a year ago and or a year before.
Right.
And he was ready, and then all of a sudden he got thumped. And then I remember it was WrestleMania, and then they did some kind of tournament. And then the next day they worked again, and Cena beat him again. And it was just like, now you had to rebuild. Same right. thing with Wade Barrett, the Nexus. When it became 1-on-3, I remember, I think they like pile drove Cena on the cement concrete, yes. and he still came and beat three guys in the one match on the 3-on-1. And that killed the Nexus.
Yeah.
You know? And then Wade Barrett came back and it was like, oh, bad news, Barrett. And then all of a sudden that caught on and people were like, oh, this guy's great. And he became a babyface. And I remember him doing something at the Hall of Fame or something like that where he was doing some kind of speech and the crowd was going crazy for him. And then before you know it, he was done. And then he must have been so disgusted he quit wrestling, but then decided, I might as well make money being a commentator. Because I can't make money. I can't be a wrestler there. Like, that yeah. guy should have been the heavyweight champion. Drew's the same way, where it took him a long time. It took him to leave, and it took him to come back. And talking about that, you know, it's exactly what I thought. We did see Drew get the pop that we were waiting to see, but they felt it wasn't time to pull the trigger on Lashley. And to be honest, you know, it's fresh.
Yeah.
You know, to put the belt back on Drew, he's pretty much held the title for the last year, almost the entire time.
Right.
Like, give somebody, you know, give a young kid like Lashley an opportunity.
You know, speaking of that, as we kind of get closer to wrapping up here, you know, you kind of brought up the younger guys. With the older guys, some of the veterans, how is it with them when they might, you know, feel that, well, the pandemic was going on, so, you know, I was just kind of protecting myself, but yet they see people working out in the ring. And I know a couple friends in Chicago, you know, had an issue with, you know, seeing young guys in the ring and training, and, you know, they were kind of miffed at why the risk was being taken. And also, you know, some of the veterans wanted, these guys to not, you know, get the push essentially, because they thought they were more over, let's say. What is it like when you're dealing with veterans? Is when a veteran comes with something that sounds more like an excuse or jealousy or, you know, trying to keep someone down, or even if they have a valid point, you know, maybe it's a character idea or a match idea, how do you process that in keeping those veterans happy, but still knowing that, you know, you're nourishing young talent who are hungry for it, and those veterans might not show the same hunger at the same time?
Okay, well, first off, what are you considering a veteran? A guy who's wrestled for 4 years only in Vegas? Is he really a veteran?
True.
You know what I mean? Everybody, it's what I say about Facebook. No matter what you write, somebody is going to be offended by it. No matter what or who you push, somebody is going to complain about it. So when Chris Bay wins the title, it isn't that he isn't great. It's like, well, he's your heavyweight champion, and he's small. And your point is what, you know?
Right.
Or, hey, why aren't I on the flyer? And, hey, why aren't I on the show? That kid is, you know, barely got his feet wet. It's like, well, okay, I need a guy to get squashed in a minute. I figured you were at a higher level than that. I'll remember that next time I need Hiro Lu to kill somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a rhyme and a reason for pretty much everything I try to do. You know, the reason certain guys get spots, and I try to explain it to people, but it's like the same thing when I say, don't fucking throw people into the guardrail because the fans are right there and the guardrails move.
Right.
But every third show, somebody bashes somebody into the guardrail. Somebody flips into the fucking, you know, wall and puts a hole in it like Creature Feature. Like, what the fuck are you idiots doing? So no matter how many times you say something to somebody,
right,
they're not going to listen. So as time progresses, you're always going to have respected guys that you've dealt with and have always done good business. If Hammerstone says something to me, I'm going to listen very, very closely and make a decision.
Right.
You know, a Cody, a Remy, guys that I've been with who've been through the wars, they've been through the thick and thin, they've been the ups and downs, you know, they're going to have more juice than the Suavecitos talking about their next storyline. Right. Now, I have an open door policy. Some people are afraid and would rather go to a Cody or go to a Remy and kind of question what I'm doing or, you know, where they're at and things like that. And I've never told anybody not to come in because I consider it a major plus, but a lot of people consider it a major flaw that I'm very honest about what you're doing.
Sure.
If it sucks, the match sucks. What the fuck? What am I going to tell you? You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you the shitty moves. That's a big move of yours. Looks like shit. Look great when it looks like shit. Like, you know, there's plenty of things. One of our champions, I'm like, you know what? I just don't buy your finish. You know, to see the stuff that you do in a match and to win the match the way you did, it didn't excite me in any way.
Sure.
You know, I want a finish to be impactful. I'm sorry, but an attitude adjustment does not look like a DDT that got a one count. Yet that was the finisher.
Right.
Because John Cena did it. But it's a shitty finish. It doesn't look like a pedigree where he's implanting you, or a Styles clash, or a pile driver,
yeah,
like, or, you know, a Phoenix splash, or a 450, you know, I'm still waiting to see one of my guys do a 450 leg drop. I said, whoever does that gets the Nolan, but we haven't been able to see that yet, you know? And it's like, things need to make sense, need things to be put in context. I have to live with the fact that no matter what it is, somebody is going to be unhappy. And I'm okay with that. You want to motherfuck me from behind, whatever, because you think you should have held the belt longer. At least you held the fucking belt. You know, there's always something. Like, oh, I got the belt, but I think I should have had it more. Or, hey, I got the belt, but that guy got the cool match. And I didn't.
Right.
I can list a billion things. I can have like the list of Jericho, you know, 1,002 complaints about everything and anything that gets done.
Right.
You know, the perfect example. There's been, you know, plenty of times he was unhappy with certain things. And then there was times he was extremely happy. Like when he got Jushin Liger, you know?
Sure.
You know, to this day, he's like, well, you know, Jack would have beat your ass if you didn't give us Liger. And it's like, yeah, because that was the reason why you got him. No, things make certain sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm trying to do the best show for me, for FSW, for the fans. And sometimes it doesn't match up with what you want, because I understand. See, you as an individual or as a tag team, you want to be seen by the masses. So if the Rascals come in, or Ricochet and Swan came in, and you're the champions, you feel slighted because I put them in a contenders match against Reno Scum, which is a fact. That's what we did. But those guys were underdog babyface champions, the Whirlwind Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Rick and Swan were not heels where they were getting to fight from underneath. They were high flyer, super duper, you know, high risk guys. So at that time, I thought the best compliment was the Reno Scum.
Right.
Because they similar stuff. They were, you know, as popular as Whirlwind Gentlemen were, so were the Reno Scum. I thought that would be the best match. That's what ended up happening. And regardless of the situation, you know, he was going to be unhappy because he didn't get that match. Everybody wants the best match.
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know, he's got a good match coming up on May 14th, Remy. So, you know, he don't have to worry about that. But it's like, hey, Lio Rush is coming in. Well, you don't think six people were like, oh, I'd love to work Lio Rush. Well, yeah, I know you would, but we're bringing in Lio Rush, and he has an agenda, and this is what he's looking to do. So we're trying to get an internet presence in a Lio Rush match.
Right.
So as cool as it would be for him to wrestle Ice Williams, unfortunately, that's not going to buzz the internet community.
Right.
Okay. The reason we really brought in Lio Rush was to have him wrestle Chris Bay, you know, because we've talked about that match for an extremely long time.
Right.
But guess what? GCW is doing it. Oh, maybe they haven't announced it. I don't know. Whatever. But needless to say, or they might be doing it. I don't know. But Lio Rush is going to work somebody who has an internet buzz and a following that we're hoping will buy some pay-per-views.
Right.
Because, again, we're limited in our seating. If we did a Sam's Town show and we knew we're selling 500 or 600 tickets or whatever, then maybe Ice Williams would have gotten a Leo Rush because it wouldn't be as important for us. But we're trying to get there.
Right.
And for us to get there, you know, a lot of times when you bring in a couple of people like Trey Miguel and Leo Rush, you know, the top guys are chomping at the bit because they're bringing guys and they're hoping they're going to get that match against them.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, their thoughts and my thoughts are different. I have to do what's best for my company, and they're trying to do what's best for themselves. And hey, I got the tape of me versus Leo Rush, and we had a great match. Now, you know, somebody may at AEW, Impact, WWE may check out, you know, Leo Rush versus Ice Williams, for example.
Right.
And say, shit, wow, who's this guy? He's really good. And now all of a sudden that person's got on the radar because that's what they're striving for.
Right.
You know, the people see it. FSW has been known to bring in Timothy Thatcher and Chris Masters and giving Kenny King to Kevin Cross. And Cross has worked those guys. And Chris Bay has gotten to work those guys. And even though he's local, the Willie Max of the TJPs have gotten to work, you know, like at the Mecca where Funny Bone Remy and Ice got in the ring with TJP.
Yeah.
And Douglas James got the one-on-one matches with TJP, you know, because they were at that level. You know, of course, I got messages from mainstays who've been around. I really want that match with TJP. And it's like, I respect that. And I understand you need to go for it. But this is what we're doing.
Right.
You know, Douglas James won the Limitless tournament. It was the best scenario for why that match was happening. Now, you, on the other hand, you can either listen to what I say, understand it, and be okay with it. Or you can listen to what I say, understand it, and not give a fuck and say Joe's a douchebag. Either way, it is what it is, and it's going to how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, because what you feel you're on the pecking order, I still am the epitome of the pecking order.
Right.
I dictate what goes on. Now, your choice could be, like some people have, that they chose that they felt they were better than what I was willing to give them.
Sure.
And they chose to go to other companies that may not have had the notoriety that we have, but they go over there and they get to be a big shot.
Right.
They get to be the champ. Because, you know, it's good. It's good feeling here saying I'm the champ. I think it's got no value if you're not really earning it. Because I know a lot of people, oh, you know, that guy was just given the belt. No, Hammerstone wasn't just given the belt. Hammerstone earned the belt. He may not have actually beat the guy in a real fight, but Hammerstone proved that he deserve to be the face of the company. Right. That's why you put the championship, the main championship, on a guy.
Right.
You know, nothing worse than you running a company and putting your friends or yourself over.
Right.
They joke about it. They laugh about it. You know, that's always the biggest thing. Like, oh, yeah, well, you know, of course he's the champ. He runs the company.
Right. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where it is. You know, I try to, you know, we try to appease our local fans as much as possible, but we're also trying to now appease a national fan base.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, each month, each year, we get a few more people behind us, And the more that the company grows and the more that a Lacey Ryan and a Cross and a Ricker and a Cage and a Chris Bay and hopefully down the line, an Unguided and a lot of the other guys that, you know, are striving to reach to the top, you know, when they look at FSW, it's like, oh shit, man, you know, I need to move like Chris Bay did from Virginia, because I think FSW can help me get where I am.
Yeah.
That kid in California, you know, you can go to Santino Brothers. They're a good school. And then there's a lot of other mediocre schools there too. And there's schools all over the United States. So it says a lot when there's somebody who's willing to go across the country to try to reach their dream, because they feel the best way to get there is through us. And it's like I said, you know, Daivari's now a producer at Impact and a wrestler. And he was an agent in WWE who's good friends with Sanjay, who's a main guy over there. And, you know, we just got Allison Danger on board. She's going to start training a little bit here and there with the women's class and stuff.
Nice.
Her brother's in the office. We know him well, Steve Carino. So you want to go to the Impact locker room. You want to go to AEW. You want to go wherever you want to go. Rocky Romero in New Japan. We know him well. You know, yeah. Carl Fredericks, you know, to this day, him doing the Jushin Liger seminar may not have got him into New Japan, but they saw who he was because they wanted to put him in because we were picking one person to be in the match, but he was already on the card. And then all of a sudden he became a guy they chose for the dojo.
Yeah.
Well, did one to do with the other? I don't know, but I think it probably helped.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, when besides having the trainers we have, having the clout of who we know where you're looking to go, you know, when Gabe Saplowski comes up and does a seminar for the guys and I give him, hey, if you want, here's a link to the pay-per-view show, you know, check out some stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, these guys are looking at their stuff. You know, I heard, I don't know who it was, I don't remember, but, you know, Gabe said he watched basically that whole collective last year. When they did it, when they came back or whatever it was. And supposedly one of the women he really, really liked watching just found out some more information and she ended up getting signed basically because he put in the word for her because he saw her on somebody's show.
Yeah.
That was on the internet.
Wow.
So that, you know, that's what we're trying to offer, you know, the people. And you need to be there to do it. You're not, you know, you could be good and be a weekend warrior. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, everybody strives that their goal. I want to be a WWE superstar. Some people just want to be a Vegas superstar. But if they put in the hard work and they're choosing to do it, you know, who am I to say that, you know, that's not the right decision? You know, years ago, Tyshawn Prince was a guy who was on the radar. You know, to me, he was a more athletic Mark Henry, this big monster,
yeah.
You know, throwing people around, but he was also pretty agile. And at the time, you know, he was doing his personal bodyguarding, working at some of the big nightclubs. You know, he had, you know, his kids with his ex-wife who lived in town. He didn't want to go to Florida. You know, he went to a tryout, they offered him, but at that time with the developmental deal, you know, he would make more money staying home and he had his family here and he chose the decision for himself was, you know what, I'll just wrestle at FSW. I'm happy doing that, you know, being the champ, you know, being the main guy here and not giving everything up, you know, for who knows if I'm going to make it. Anything could happen, you
right.
know?
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting perspective and some good clarity on I think the biggest thing I think that some of the guys just miss because they're so concerned about themselves is the fact that FSW is first and foremost an actual business, and you know, sometimes what the CEO decides might not be what you feel is best. But you're not on the business end of it. You're not the one staking your money into it and reputation into it. So it's very interesting to to hear that perspective, because a lot of times, yeah, everyone kind of forgets because we like to play fantasy booker, you know. So that's a great perspective. Joe, just before we go, a little bit more about the upcoming show this weekend, so fans can check it out.
Yeah, we got a great show. We got a young guy out of Washington, worked for the Phi, Jordan Oasis, who continually tries to make his way to Vegas. So he's got a good match coming up. He's going to wrestle Sepha.
Nice.
So we're interested to see, how he performs there. As I said, Matt Vandergriff, he's going to wrestle Jay Vidal, which, should be another instant classic that we're looking for. Toko Uso is going to be there. We got a lot of our talent. We're actually going to do a champion versus champion match as Remy Marcel in a non-title match goes one-on-one with Maserati. So that is definitely going to be interesting. Front row seats are still available. Go fswvegas.com. You can buy tickets for the next four shows, the 16th and 24th of April and the 8th and 14th. Like we said, we added May 8th, Psycho de Mayo featuring Psycho Clown. So it'd be nice to see all the AAA fans,
yeah,
coming out in full force. See a little Lucha Libre style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Inside the arena. So, yeah, tickets are still available. Always got some surprises. Some per sleeve. Who knows who's going to show up.
Excellent. Well, everyone listening, thank you once again for tuning in. And next week, I'm sure we'll talk about what happened on this show this past weekend. And maybe we might have a little guest up our sleeve. We're still working on a couple of things. So just stay tuned. Keep your eyes and ears open. Listen to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast, as well as subscribe to the FSW Network. What a better way if you're not in Vegas, or if you're in Vegas and just can't get to it because of work or, other obstacles. The network's the best way to go, and see.
Oh, there you have it. I believe I think the 16th is a network exclusive. So,
there we go. Well, again,
there you have it.
Keep your eyes and ears peeled for all the information. And again, we really appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.